It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today's message was preached during the 2006 Bible Conference. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Jones III, our speaker will be Dr. Ian Paisley, pastor of Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church in Belfast, Northern Ireland. The title of his message is, This Man Moses. The text is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29.
It is not customary to introduce a speaker the second time at Bible conference because most everyone was here the first time when he was introduced. But we have hundreds and hundreds of graduates back for the reunions tonight. And, of course, they know Dr. Paisley well. And I just wanted, because they were here, to reintroduce to them one of their mentors, one who has invested over the years in thousands of lives over many generations of young people. And I want to say to those who are here that did not get the story yesterday that God has, in a very real sense, almost literally raised up Dr. Paisley from the dead about 15 months ago. His family gathered around his bedside in a London hospital and had given him up. The doctor had said he will not make it through the night. Mrs. Paisley called back to Ulster, and a prayer meeting was called at their church. And a number of members who could be rallied came and for about 4 hours had a prayer meeting there at the church. About 2:30 in the morning, the man who was conducting the prayer meeting said he felt like it was time to dismiss, and he was just ready to do that. When one of the members stood up in the prayer time and said, God has revealed to me that Dr. Paisley has been healed. And they continued praying, and a little while later, somebody else said the same thing, and a third person said the same thing. About an hour after that, as they were breaking up the prayer meeting to go home, the phone rang from the hospital in London, and Mrs. Paisley said, God has heard your prayers. The doctor has just come into the room about an hour ago and said that my husband has rallied and that he is going to make it. And it's an answer to prayer. And indeed it was. And since that time, Dr. Paisley's influence as a minister of the gospel, as a proclaimer of Christ, as an influencer of a nation, of an empire, has been greater than it ever was before in all of the previous years of his ministry. And I cannot take the time to detail how that is so, but it is so. And he has now been given of God at the near age of 80, an opportunity for Christ that has been unparalleled in all the rest of his life put together. He meets on a regular basis with Prime Minister Tony Blair. And when he comes before Mr. Blair, the first thing the Prime Minister wants to know is, what did you preach on Sunday? Tell me about your sermon. He took some children's books to Mr. Blair, and the Prime Minister called his children together and said, Mr. Paisley has brought these books for you children. They tell you about Jesus, and I want you to read these books. That's just a little slice of one-on-one personal opportunity, in addition to the opportunity before the masses of Northern Ireland, and even now in the south of Ireland, and in all of England. He is the friend of Christ, he is the friend of the Lord's people, and he is the friend of the friends of BJU.
I'd like to thank Dr. Jones and everyone for their warm welcome to me and my good wife and son to the school at this time. It has been a joy to be with you. A dear woman who was here last night and was very hard of hearing as she came to see me today, and she says you were the only preacher that I heard all week, everything you said. And she said, I thought when I came into the meeting, well, Mr. Paisley will be a very poor voice. He's an old man. But I'll do my best to try and catch what he is saying. Well, thank God she caught it all. And I trust that it will reside in her heart and be a blessing to her soul. Thank God for this school. Thank God for its founder and its founder's son and the Joneses and all of you. It is vital that we as fundamentalists stand united in defense and proclamation of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This is not a time for idleness. This is a time for action. This is not a time for compromise. This is a time for the battle, lines to be drawn, and for us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and not be entangled again in any yoke of bondage. May the Lord bless you. Do pray for us. We're in a big battle in the United Kingdom, but God is still on the throne. And remember, he told Abraham, he said, if I can find 10 men in Sodom, it will not be destroyed. Well, thank God there's a remnant testimony in the United Kingdom. And I believe we can see our nation delivered by the power of God. Do pray for us. Hebrews chapter 11 at the verse 23. I want to speak tonight as the Lord has laid a subject upon my heart. It is a subject of Moses. And at verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11, we read, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was caught, was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. And God will stamp with his own seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible book. Let's stand for a word of prayer before the preaching. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. Let's be seated. As I have said, I want to bring your attention to the person of the man Moses. Unlike many who, yielding to the generous impulses of youth, espouse the cause of the wrong and fight their first battles under the flag of liberty, but in mature years or old age lived to desert it. But Moses never swerved from the good part that he had chosen. He pursued it onward to his grave with a pure, unselfish patriotism no time could weaken, nor no injustice or ingratitude could cool. If ever a man was tempted to abandon a cause which he had undertaken, it must have been Moses. Why should he have entered in it and left his happy household and the quiet hills of Midian to be cast into a sea of troubles? Other actors have been hissed from the stage where they were once applauded. Other benefactors have had to complain of public ingratitude, and under the impulse of a temporary madness, other nations have brought their truest patriots to the scaffold. But for 40 years, here was a man. He was covered with abuse. He was never deaf to murmurs. He was always in the midst of opposition and unjust suspicion and repeated attempts on his life. But this man, Moses, although he had rejected the most splendid offers, and although he had made the most costly of sacrifices, never gave in, but walked with God. He was bred in a palace, but he espoused to take up the cause of an enslaved people. He was nursed in the lap of luxury, but he put his arms round adversity and made it its friend. He was reared in a school of despots. He became the brave champion of liberty. He was long associated with oppressors. He took the side of the oppressed. Educated as her son, he forfeited the favor of a princess to maintain the rights of the enslaved. With a crown in prospect, he made choice of a cross. And for the sake of his God and Israel, he abandoned ease, refinement, luxuries, and the highest earthly honors to be a houseless wanderer, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, and choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Recently in my Bible reading, I was struck with this man, Moses, and I was struck with the fact that over all his life, from his birth to his death and burial, he was a death-shadowed man. The death-shadowed Moses. The hour he was conceived in his mother's womb was an hour when a death sentence had been written by the king of Egypt for his death, that all male beings should be killed. He was born under a death warrant. He was death-shadowed. And then, when he was born, the death shadow was still there. The edict of the cruel Pharaoh was in action every day, as child after child was thrown into the River Nile. When he was 3 months old, he was placed in a little ark of bulrushes, and he was set down on the edge of the Death River Nile, and the shadow was upon him even more. That little ark of bulrushes was discovered by the king's daughter. She sent one of her maids to fetch it. And when she opened it up, Moses, the man who was to be death shadowed all his days, we read he wept. One would have thought that Pharaoh's daughter would have been quick to carry out her father's command, but not so. For God had a plan for this man. And when God has a plan, no power in hell can alter the decree of our God. It's a great thing to know that God is alive. And God rules, and God reigns, and God will never die. And those who are linked with him, hallelujah, shall live forevermore. When he became of age, he had decisions to make. And he made them wisely, and he made them well. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You can't refuse anything until you're offered it. So it was offered to him the full right of being the son. Not the adopted son, but the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he refused the offer. The death shadow was still upon him. And then one day, he stood up for one of the slaves of the Israel, of the children of Israel, and he brought in swift justice on the offender. And the king said, I will kill Moses. And the death shadow was on him even more. He fled to Midian. No doubt he wondered every day when Pharaoh's soldiers would find him and what they would do with him. But he was wonderfully directed by God to go back to Egypt. He took over the leadership of Israel, and he entered a fight with Pharaoh. Every day of his battle was a day when the death shadow was upon him. He walked about in Egypt, he sent plagues upon the people, but he himself had the death threat upon him. And then he killed the Passover. He saw the people delivered, and then he came to the Red Sea. And behind him he heard the chariots of Pharaoh. He heard the cries of the soldiers of Egypt. It seemed that the whole nation would perish, and that death shadow would no longer be a shadow but a reality. But not so. God separated the waters of the Red Sea, and he went through dry shod with all the children of Israel. And all of Egypt's army was drowned. They tasted death, but Moses tasted deliverance. But the death shadow didn't end there. For 40 years, he was in the wilderness. And during the wilderness, there were 10 rebellions in the nation. And they were all aimed at Moses. Have you ever noticed the difference between the life of Moses and the life of Joshua? Joshua was never threatened. Nobody ever set up anything against him. Joshua lived the head of the people. And when they mourned the children of Israel and made accusations under Joshua, they made their accusations against their elders. But Joshua was never accused of anything. But not so Moses. Moses had 10 bitter rebellions. Through the whole wilderness, he was tested, and there was a death shadow upon him. Please open your Bible with me at the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And I want you to look very quickly with me at the picture that Paul writes about Moses. And he tells us about Moses and his wonderful transformation in verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, what happened? He made a great decision. It was decision time for Moses. Was it going to be the throne of Egypt? Was it going to be the power of the mightiest nation then in all the world? Or was he going to isolate himself, separate himself, identify himself with the slaves of the Israelites, the makers of bricks, and the builders of the cities of Pharaoh? Look at those words, would you please? When he was come to years. This was not a boyish decision. This was not the decision even of a young man. It was the decision of a mature man. A man who was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. But one day he was transformed. And one day he came to years. And he made a decision. What was that decision? That decision was that he was going to identify himself with the slaves, the outcasts, because they were of the seed of Abraham. And through Abraham's seed would come the Christ of God and the deliverance of sinners from their sins by the mighty program of God's salvation. Look secondly at verse 24, and you'll find not only his transformation, he came to years, but his renunciation, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a refusal. Young person, You not only need to be transformed by the new birth, but you need to make a renunciation. You have to refuse certain things. There's no such thing as walking with the world and walking with Jesus Christ at the same time. Old John Bunyan said, Jesus and the devil don't walk the same road, and neither they do. And we have all to make a renunciation. We have all to say no. We have all to make our refusals. He refused to be called. Don't call me the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm an Israelite. I'm one of the slaves. I'm of the seed of Abraham. I bear on my body the mark of circumcision. I'm separated unto God. God's looking for people to make that renunciation today. But notice, thirdly, at verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Dedicated to do the right. There was a dedication here. This man was dedicating himself, and that meant that he was going to suffer affliction. The road of Christ is the road of the cross. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way for me. I can ne'er get sight of the gates of light, of the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, that the way of the cross leads home. Perhaps there's a sinner here, and you've never been to the cross. Dear sinner friend, get to the cross tonight. Go and kneel at the place of the opened arteries and veins of the Rock of Ages. And lift up your eyes and behold the Christ of God. He has shed His blood for you. And through that blood you can receive pardon. You can receive peace. And hallelujah, you can receive life everlasting. Here was a man who had a dedication. But with the dedication, there came a repudiation. And what did he repudiate? To enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Does sin give pleasure? Of course it does. But it's only for a season. The period of enjoyment doesn't last. And the enjoyment itself cannot last, for it's rotten to the core with the poison of hell itself. And we have to make that repudiation every day. The pleasures of sin are not for me. I will not have them. I will not tolerate them. I will not excuse them. I'll not hide away in my iniquity. I don't want sin. It nailed my Savior to the tree. I hate it. It spat upon the face of my beloved. that tore the hairs from off his face, that hammered the nails through his hands and through his feet, and when he was dead, it put the spear through his side. I'm not going to have sin or its pleasures. Man and woman, what we need today is a revival of true spiritual holiness in the church. When we'll love holiness, and we'll love the truth, and we'll love purity, and we'll love the things that bring honor to God. But look with me at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. You say, did Moses know about Christ? Certainly he did. How are you so cocksure, preacher? Because Christ said, Moses wrote of me. The Lord Jesus said that. And the Lord Jesus knew what Moses wrote about himself. The reproach of Christ. The sweetest and most blessed thing on earth is to be reproached for the name of Jesus. And if you're reproached for the name of Jesus, send 100 hallelujahs to heaven. Because it's a great thing to be reproached for the Savior's name. Mr. Spurgeon used to say, when the newspaper said C.H. Spurgeon was a rascal, he said, I rejoiced. Because they said I was a rascal, because I hated the rascality of hell, and I denounced it. Oh, we should be rejoicing, Christians, because we have esteemed the reproach of Christ. We have made not only a transformation, a renunciation, a dedication, a repudiation, but we have made an estimation. We have esteemed the reproach of Christ. How have we esteemed? Read again. Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Bring all your treasures. World, bring all your treasures. Bring all your honors. Bring everything that you can give to the seeking, searching soul. And it's all worthless. It is all worthless. The greatest riches of Egypt is worthlessness. It's worth nothing. But look at something else. This great expectation. Moses was a man with expectation. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Brethren and sisters in Christ, there's a reward day coming. It's coming. When God will reward His people. What a day that's going to be. The reward day. The day when God shall honor those that honor Him. When I get a crown, if I do, I just want to leave it at the feet of Jesus. And cover it with my tears in the glory land. Oh, what a wonder that we have such an expectation, having respect unto the recompense of the reward. But come to verse 27, and you'll find his determination. By faith, he forsook Egypt. The day he stood up and said, goodbye, Pharaoh. Goodbye, palace of the kings of Egypt. Goodbye, the wealth and the splendor and the glory and the company. Goodbye. I'm going to walk another road. I'm going to live for something that is well worthwhile his determination. He forsook Egypt. And then notice that that determination brought consolation, not fearing the wrath of the king. He laughed at Pharaoh. He said, he thinks he's going to kill me, but God has shown me I'm going to be the leader of this people. And although at this time they have rejected me, one day they will accept me as their leader. Look again. You'll find something else. Not fearing the wrath of the king, he had consolation. A sweet peace filled his heart. A sweet joy overcame his soul. He lived in the place of perfect peace, for his mind was stayed on God. But notice in verse 27, he endured. He endured us seeing him who is invisible. He had a revelation. He saw God. He saw the invisible God. You will all remember that Moses had a prayer, a very special prayer. He said, "Show me thy glory." And God said to him, "Moses, I can't show you my glory. I can put you in the cleft of the rock. I can pass by in all my majesty, but you can't see it. I will lift my hand, and you will see the aftermath of my glory, but you'll not see my glory." But Moses went on praying. And millenniums afterwards, on a hill called the Hill of Transfiguration, God answered Moses' prayer. And he saw the glory with Christ. Two men appeared with Christ in glory. And one of them was Moses. You know, I read that the other day and I said, "Thank God, if it takes 2,000 years, Lord, for you to answer prayer, I'll be around at the end of 2,000 years to get the answer." So was Moses. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That if you pray to God right, you'll get the answer. Sometime, somewhere. What a day of rejoicing for Moses when he saw him who was invisible. And then we come to the obligation in verse 28. He kept the law. You'll never get anywhere with God until you keep what God orders you to do. It's obedience that brings the blessing. It's submission to the will of God that brings the blessing of God. And here is what it says. It says he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Oh, thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the blood of the Passover Lamb. You see, there were hovels in Egypt where slaves lived. But God didn't say, "When I see the place you live, I'll pass over you." He says, "When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood." Oh, thank God, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. And God's looking for blood. Does he see his Son's blood in your heart? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I'm glad I'm washed in the Savior's blood. I'm glad he sees the blood in my heart. And I am happy. And I am free. Because the Lord has preserved me. And we come from the obligation to the preservation, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. My, when you're under the blood, you're preserved. And I've been in many tight places in my day, and possibly will be in many tighter places before I make the heavens. But thank God I'm preserved and sheltered by the blood of the Lamb. Naught can harm the Father's child. God will see us through. There was a great preacher once in Scotland, and he took up that text from Isaiah. And Isaiah says, he shall see his seed. And the old preacher took as his first point, he said, he shall see his seed born and brought in. And then he said, he shall see his seed educated and brought up. He will see his seed supported and brought through. He will see his seed glorified and brought home. He'll see his seed. Are you part of the Lord's seed tonight? I'm sure if you are, you'll want to live every day, every hour, every minute of your life for Christ. Totally and absolutely dedicated to him. And we have the great exaltation here. This great multitude of some 3 million people, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. The exaltation of the saints. God will bring us through. He'll bring us through rejoicing. He'll bring us through with power. But it ends on the annihilation of all his enemies. The Egyptians, he's saying to do so, were drowned. Oh, my friend, tonight, don't drown with the Egyptians. Get under the blood with the Israelites. And one day you'll be exalted to heaven's throne, to occupy the throne of God with His Son, our Lord Jesus. May God bless you. May God bless this school and bless its president and its chancellor and all that work in this place. And may this place be as never before, a citadel of those that stand out and out for Christ and stand true to the book and look for the coming of our Lord Jesus. He's coming again. And when he comes, you're going to be good looking, dear. You'll not need any more cosmetics because you're going to be like him, for you're going to see him as he is. And we men who are no oil paintings will be changed as well. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Aren't you glad you're blood-washed, heaven-bound? Aren't you glad you're a fundamentalist? Aren't you glad you believe in a book that has no errors in it? That's the Word of the living God that liveth and abideth forever. And when everything else passes away, this old book will never pass away. And if you have your feet on it, you'll never pass away as well. God bless you and be with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for your word. Your word is truth. Write it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. And Lord, bless this school. We thank thee for those that went before. We thank thee for sweet memories of them, what men they were, what women they were there. They loved their lives not to the death, that they might give us all the privileges that this school has brought us. And we just pray now that you'd bless this school, keep the blood upon it, and bless all who labor here. And may there be times of revival. times of blessing from the presence of the Lord for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Ian Paisley, pastor of Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church in Belfast, Northern Ireland. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.